So we're the Jabber Guys, and welcome back to another episode of
Inside Rock.
Now, I know this was formerly called Turntable Talk, but by popular demand, we've decided to rename the podcast. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's good. Yeah,
that's the polite way of saying it.
Yeah, that's the polite way.
Somebody else had it. We got screwed.
Yeah, that's our story. We're sticking to it.
We're sticking to it.
Look for us on Apple Podcasts and...
don't forget Spotify.
Spotify and a bunch of other ones. We're getting...
Stitcher.
Stitcher, yeah.
Yeah.
The bathroom wall.
Stall.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
All right, so what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about song meanings. So... what's some of the more popular songs and what they actually mean? We listen to them all the time, but, you know, we just take for granted that just the message is simple. But
like what inspired them? And
Yeah. There's some good ones out there.
And even some backstories, I would hope, right?
Oh, yeah. There'd be backstories. Yeah, something that may surprise you.
Okay. So what do you want to start with?
Well... yeah, the one that I like was the Dolly Parton song. And, you know, I say the Dolly Parton song, but Whitney Houston actually made it super popular, and I think you probably know what I'm talking about.
Now. I will always love you.
I love you too, man.
I wasn't talking to you guys.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, so I will always love you. That story's really cool. Do you know why she wrote that song?
No, like, let's be clear, though. Dolly Parton, it's her song. She wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
And she owns it.
It's her signature song. Okay. She calls that her signature song. That's the song she's most proud of.
Okay, so where'd it come from?
Well, she actually wrote it for a guy named Porter Wagoner. So when Dolly was first starting out, and it was back in 1967, Porter Wagoner recruited her for his TV show. It was a big break for Dolly Parton to get on his show, and she was with him for 7 years. It's a long time. But
yeah, and she was really popular on that show.
Well, boyfriend and girlfriend, you mean? Were they?
No, they sang duets. So that was their hook. They sang duets, and Porter Wagoner would always introduce her as the beautiful girl, the gorgeous country girl, and but as the show went on, and longer she stayed on the show. The ratings got better and better, and Dolly Parton was starting to get the spotlight over Porter Wagoner. It was his show.
Geez, I wonder why.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can think of two very good reasons.
That's for sure. So at some point, Dolly Parton, you know, she wanted to go and do something on her own because her popularity was getting bigger than that show. So she wanted to do something on her own, and Porter Wagoner didn't want her to leave. And he was the boss. He was very clear. You know, he was the boss. He wrote the paychecks. And, he always tried to talk her out of leaving the show. And so Dolly Parton, you know, wrote that song pretty much as a farewell song to Porter Wagoner. She sang it to him on the show. And so that's when she decided to leave.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, she that's her song. Like, she didn't want to share that at the time with anybody.
It's a great song.
It's a great song. But strangely, Elvis Presley, and it was, you know, pretty popular at the time as well, and he wanted to sing that song. His producers approached Dolly Parton and said, "We want to buy the rights to your song."
Obviously, getting Elvis to sing one of your songs would be huge.
That'd be exactly. But she said no, she would not sell the rights to that song.
Good for her.
Yeah, that was a big deal at the time. I mean, she wasn't nearly as popular as she became later. So, yeah. And the funny thing is, Elvis Presley, when he was divorcing Priscilla, that was in 1973, I believe their divorce was final. Even though he wasn't able to sing the song professionally, in the divorce court, when... The divorce was final, and Priscilla was walking out of the courtroom, Elvis Presley sang "I Will Always Love You" to her as she was leaving.
Ooh, so he got it in.
He got it in, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Cool. Now, what did Dolly think of Whitney Houston's version?
Well, you know what? She said, there's a documentary. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. It's called Here I Am on Netflix. It's a really good documentary. She actually said that, you know, Whitney Houston took that song to a different level. She's very humble, and she admitted that. She said she didn't know that her song could sound that good.
And Whitney did take it to another level.
She did.
You just get chills listening to her sing that song.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, Dolly Parton also said, and she made me very rich. So,
yeah,
she did pretty well with that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, I've got one.
What do you got?
Not quite as elaborate as that story. It was an amazing story, though.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Black Dog.
Ah, Zeppelin.
By Zeppelin.
Of course.
Everybody
classic.
Knows that song. Just quite simply, a dog had wandered into the studio during a take and just sat there during this one song they were doing, which they didn't label yet. They didn't have a name for it yet. Dog sat there. When they were finished the song, dog just got out of the studio and walked back out.
Tell me something. Was it a black dog?
I guess it was. Yes, it was.
Just a wild guess.
Yeah. So during their album creation, they just used the word or the phrase black dog as a placeholder for the song. And then they ended up just leaving it.
Just
called
stuck.
It black dog.
Because not once in the song did they ever say black dog.
No.
Right? It's not a song about a black dog.
No, that's true.
That's awesome.
Like, everybody knows the song, but why would they call it that? But now we know.
There you go.
Love it. Love it.
They were going to record that album at Mick Jagger's home, Led Zeppelin 4. But they decided it was going to be too expensive to do that, so they moved it to Headley Grange, a country house in Hampshire, England, using the Rolling Stones mobile studio. They actually used Andy Johns, too. Andy Johns was the engineer on Sticky Fingers. And they used him while recording Zeppelin 4 at Headley Grange.
That's interesting. And Zeppelin, their name, according to Jimmy Page, it was Keith Moon who suggested the name originally Led Zeppelin. And they liked it so much, they used it later. But they said it was actually Keith Moon's idea from The Who.
Now, did he ask Keith use it?
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I think he did. I think Jimmy Page asked him, right?
Yeah.
So you mind if we use that name you came up with? Because we're going to be in a band we want to call Led Zeppelin.
And the rest is history.
There you go.
Yeah, so continuing with where band names came from. Yeah, Chai, you were talking to me about, what was it, Talking Heads?
Talking Heads, yeah. It came from an issue of a TV guide which explained the term used by TV studios. You know, when they just do a head and shoulder shot?
Yeah.
No body, no action. But they described it as a head and shoulder shot of a person talking as all content, no action. So just information. Talking Heads.
Just like Max Headroom.
Or Elvis on Ed Sullivan's show.
Above
the waist only.
Yeah, they wouldn't show him below the waist because it was indecent.
That's right.
Because of all his gyrating moves.
Yeah, that was one of his signatures, right? The way he was able to move his legs and waist and...
It was a signature, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Getting back to the Talking Heads, frontman David Byrne and the group made their first appearance opening for the Ramones in 1975.
Let's get back to song meanings. You were going to talk to me about Buddy Holly.
I was going to talk to you about Don McLean. Don McLean wrote a eight-minute epic song called... American Pie.
Right about Buddy Holly.
Well, it's about, the day the music died. And that's,
right.
And that was in, February 3rd, 1959. That's when their plane crashed.
When you say they.
It was Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
La Bamba.
La Bamba, that's right. He was only, I think he was, 16? Was that how old he was? 16?
He was young, yeah.
Look at his face.
Go back to his Google.
You got to Google that again?
No.
Don't be throwing out shit like that. You don't know.
I think he was 16.
Look at me like and saying.
He was 16.
Was he 16? Looking at me like, how the hell do I know?
He was 16.
It's your story. You don't know the shit? Don't say it.
Well, you know, there's been some controversy over that story because, you know, before they got on that fatal plane crash, and you know where they were flying to? They were going to Fargo, North Dakota, to their next gig, and it was bad weather, and some rumor has it that there was a coin toss Waylon Jennings was hired to be the bass player, along with another guy, Alsup, his name was. But they've debunked that it really wasn't a coin toss. That it was J.P. Richardson had the flu and he was really sick, and they were supposed to go in a bus, along with Richie Valens, and Buddy Holly had chartered the plane for Alsup and Jennings to fly to Fargo, and because J.P. was so sick, he asked Alsup if he could have his seat on the plane, because he didn't want to ride in the bus, because the bus kept breaking down. They're having a lot of trouble with the bus. And Richie Valens did the same. So there was really no coin toss.
It's because the Big Bopper was sick.
That's right. So, yeah, because the rumor was there was a coin toss. He flipped a coin. Waylon Jennings flipped a coin.
See, that's more dramatic.
With Richie Valens. Richie Valens won the toss. He got on the fatal
flight. He won or he lost?
Well, he lost ultimately, right? Yeah. But what was true is that when Jennings was going to get on the bus, Buddy Holly said to him, I hope your bus breaks down again. And Jennings said, well, I hope your plane crashes. And that was the last thing that was the last thing he said to him. And sure enough, it did. And he's had to live with that comment. It's haunted him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say.
No kidding. Good. But that's a great tune, though. American Pie. It's epic. 8 minutes.
Don McLean.
Oh, by the way, I did look it up, and Richie Valens was 17, not 16. He was a few months shy of his 18th birthday.
That's a good story there, Queeks.
Yeah, it's a good story. I like that story.
Not bad.
Not bad. But you got smart ass.
I'm going back to a band name.
All right.
I like those. Creedence Clearwater Revival.
CCR.
CCR. Great band.
Yep.
Great band.
You know what?
What?
You know how many number one hits CCR had?
Zero.
Zip. They never had one number one hit. Isn't that incredible?
That is.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. As you were.
Well, the word Creedence referred to someone called Creedence Newball. I guess he was Fogerty's buddy. So that's where he got that section from. Clearwater came from a TV commercial for Olympia Beer.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And Revival was just to the fact that they returned as a band in 1967 after a three-year hiatus because they had some military commitments to go to. So just the revival of the band when they got back. So how he just put all those three things together, but that's what the three words, where they came from.
Yeah, but everybody knows them as CCR, right?
Of course.
Call them CCR. That's like ELO. Instead of Electric Light Orchestra, they call them ELO.
Yeah, right? One of my favorite bands of all time.
Another one, Bachman Turner Overdrive, BTO. That's right.
Yep.
Anyway.
Or Devo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait.
that doesn't work.
I know, I'm just joking.
You whip it.
Anyway, you know here's another good song, Smoke on the Water. Epic. That's an epic song.
Besides that being the very first song everyone learns when they're trying to play guitar.
Yeah, it is, right?
That is. And House of the Rising Sun.
Really? Oh, never heard that.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Smoke on the
Water.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah. House of the Rising Sun?
Yeah.
Really?
It's one of the first songs I learned.
Okay, I don't know anybody else that's learned that on guitar. Okay.
Me either.
There was...
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we know the song.
All right.
So anyway, keep going.
Anyway. Oh.
Anywho.
And Ja. Did I say anyways? I said anyway. Anyways isn't where everybody.
He always criticizes me for saying anyways.
Okay, play it back.
He just said it.
Play it back. You will not hear an S on the end of that.
What's the difference?
Oh, one's a word and one isn't. There's the difference.
Anyways.
Oh, my God. We're going to have another show about proper grammar.
Anyways, continue.
There it is. Man.
So I'm staying out of this one.
Yeah, it's probably best. So Smoke on the Water. You know where that came from? You know what they
apparently there was some smoke on some water somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't a building catch on fire?
Well, it was a building. Yeah, it was a building. It was a casino. So the band was in Montreux, Switzerland.
The band, meaning Deep Purple.
Deep Purple. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. I hadn't even mentioned that yet. Yeah. I mean, if you don't know who does Smoke on the Water, stop listening. Because, yes. I mean, that's classic, right? But anyway.
He's just kidding,
you hear
by
me?
The way.
Anyway.
I'm waiting. I'm watching.
The band, Deep Purple, was in attendance at this concert by Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. And they were playing first, and they were going to go on next night. But behind Gillan from Deep Purple, some guy fired off a flare gun in this casino inside. It was an indoor show, and hit the roof, and the place caught fire and burned to the ground. Now, you know the lyric, some stupid with a flare gun burned the place to the ground. So that's exactly what happened in Montreux, Switzerland.
You imagine being that guy? That'd be great. What, like, I was the guy in the song with the flare gun. That'd be great.
That's great. Yeah, that's what you got from that story. That's interesting.
You're warped.
No, really. Is he still alive, I wonder? Like, why isn't he on? I wonder if you search him. Search the guy with the flare gun.
Some stupid?
Some stupid with a flare gun.
Stupid with a flare gun.
I just Googled it, and I Googled some stupid with a flare gun as per the lyric, and the guy's name is Zdeněk Spika, Czechoslovakian guy. We'll post the article on our Facebook, so take a look. There's an article there on this guy.
But he's never been caught, right?
No, he's never been prosecuted for that.
Still on the run.
Yeah.
Stupid with a flare gun.
Burn the place. But there's more to that story, though. There's more to that story.
Do tell.
So they were supposed to start recording Machine Head. Now, Machine Head's one of my favorite albums, 1972. So they were going to use that venue to start recording Machine Head. And they were short one track. I guess they had, because they couldn't record where they were supposed to at the casino, they ended up recording in a hallway at the Grand Hotel in Switzerland. They set them up in this hotel, and they used the Rolling Stones mobile recording studio, ran the cables up into this hallway, and had to record some of Deep Purple at the Grand Hotel in this hallway. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
And they were short one track. Their producer said, you know, we're short one track. So Ritchie Blackmore wrote the riff for Smoke on the Water and used the inspiration from that fire and the smoke on the smoke on the water outside the casino. And they came up with Smoke on the Water as the last track, as a fill-in, as a desperate attempt just to make up the time for this album.
And it was the most popular track on that album.
Pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of good tracks on that album. Highway Star, Lazy, Space Truckin', great tunes. But yeah, so that's where Smoke on the Water came from.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah. So where did Deep Purple, where did they get their name from? You got that one?
Yes, I do. They used to be called Roundabout before Deep Purple.
Oh, like the Yes song, Roundabout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess Blackmore's grandmother, that was her favorite song. It was called Deep Purple.
I remember. That's an old song.
One Donny Osmond did?
No.
When the deep.
Would you stop singing?
Really? No one's ever going to tune in again. No. You keep singing.
No. So that's the huge story.
Well, actually, Peter DeRose wrote that song, Deep Purple. It was published in 1933 as a piano composition, but it became so popular in sheet music that a person named Mitchell Parrish added lyrics to it in 1938. Okay, I guess we better keep the music references to the last five decades, I suppose.
Well, Oat has knowledge that far back, don't you?
I guess that's a yes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, you know what? Black Friday's coming up next month. Well, I don't know how successful. I mean,
the big shopping day?
Well, I don't know how big it's going to be this year. But
it's no, that. You know, it's going to be scary to see what happens if people still try to shop. Just watch the video the other day of this old guy walking into Walmart, refusing to wear a mask, and just pushing and punching everybody who tried to stop him.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's YouTube. That's right there.
All right. Anyway, so, you know, multiply that by 1,000 on Black Friday. We'll see what happens.
It's not going to be scary. It's going to be entertaining because I'll be watching from the comfort of my home.
Get your popcorn ready.
I think they're going to have Cyber Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, we'll see what happens.
But Black Friday, that's a song by Steely Dan. And quite frankly, that's not what inspired them to write Black Friday. This is well before the shopping holiday even came along.
When you're done your story, your information piece, can I please tell you where they got the band name from?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Fact. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah,
I can't wait to hear this one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's actually about an investment ploy.
Okay, I can't wait. It's a steam-powered dildo.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
What?
It was named after a steam-powered dildo.
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan is the name of a dildo?
Yes. It was in a novel, Naked Lunch. That's all. You can go ahead now.
No, you can. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So they named their band after a steam-powered dildo.
Yes, very powerful.
That's what she said.
Some serious stuff.
You beat me by about half a second there. Yeah.
But no joke, that's what it is.
All right, well, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Well, okay. This Black Friday story is going to pale in comparison.
Yeah, sorry, I should have waited. Go ahead.
But anyway, it's about an investment ploy. A number of wealthy investors banded together to corner the market on gold, and they drove up the prices by buying as much gold as possible. But the government caught on to what they were doing and released $4 million worth of gold. And drove the price down on the gold to the floor and bankrupted the investors. So that's where Steely Dan got the motivation for their song Black Friday, not the holiday, or the shopping day, I should say. This actually happened in 1869.
Dildo.
Steam-powered.
Steam-powered.
I like Chaz's story better.
Yeah. Well, me too now.
Yeah, another really popular group that everybody knows, the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones. Yeah, they're one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, how'd they get their name?
They were in an interview with a journalist.
And that wasn't their original name, right?
No, they were actually called Blues Boys.
Oh, that's catchy.
That's catchy. Well,
they don't seem like the Blues Boys to me. I mean, anyway, so they were originally called that.
Did they start out in blues? Is that why? It must be the type of music they played,
yeah,
blues?
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of the Stones music is bluesy rock. It is.
Yeah.
Same with Zeppelins. They started off as a blues-based band, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, that was 1961. They were called the Blues Boys. So they weren't, I don't think they were that hyped about the name either, because when they were in an interview with a journalist, they were asked, what's the name of the band? And Jones.
You mean Brian Jones?
Yeah, it's too bad what happened to him shortly after the Stones ousted him from the band for his erratic behavior and drug use. He died by what they call misadventure. He drowned despite being a strong swimmer.
And what year was that?
1969.
Anyway, Chuck, continue.
He looked down at a Muddy Waters LP that just happened to be laying on the ground, and he saw one of the tracks was called Rolling Stone. So he just said, "We're the Rolling Stones." And it just stuck.
I'll say, can you imagine them being called anything else?
No.
Yeah, classic.
Like Blues Boys?
Yeah, the Blues Boys. No, they just, it's not good.
No. So that's how they came about that.
One of their hits, Brown Sugar.
Love that song.
What album is that off of, anyone? Come on, Sticky Fingers.
Yes. Sticky Fingers, right.
Sticky Fingers. Mick Jagger apparently wrote that about a secret girlfriend that he had. Her name was Marsh Hunt. Easy. Yeah, they never did marry, but they had a baby girl together whose name is Karis.
How many times does he have a story like that?
Yeah, no kidding.
I know exactly. How many kids does Mick Jagger have?
I don't even know.
I don't think he knows.
I think he has more kids than albums, I think.
But there's another girl, Claudia Lanier. She actually did a BBC interview back in 2014 and claims that she was also involved with Mick Jagger.
No.
And the song was actually, the song was written about her. So who knows? Who knows?
Was that his pet name for them?
Brown Sugar, I guess. Okay, let's get back to the dildos. So, I'm sorry, but that fascinated me. You know the band 10cc?
I do.
Well, where do you think they came up with that name?
Oh, I'm afraid to ask.
Well, it's said that they got the name from the amount of male ejaculate. The average ejaculate from a male.
The average volume is 10cc.
10cc.
So like, how could you possibly... Hey, let's see now. What are we going to call our band? I don't know. What's the average volume of male ejaculate? Let's go with that.
10cc. Easy.
Like, how does that even come about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't mean the poor choice of words.
How's that gonna come out?
Sorry. I'm going to put that another way.
I'm Not in Love. Remember that song by them?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right. Well, let's move on.
All right. Sounds good. What about, here's one, a little more current. Smells like Teen Spirit.
Nirvana,
absolutely. Do you know what that refers to?
I feel you're going to tell me.
Deodorant. Smells like Teen Spirit was inspired by deodorant. I searched on YouTube and found a commercial for Teen Spirit deodorant. We'll put that on our Facebook page and in our show notes. One of the guys in the band told Kurt Cobain that he smelled like Teen Spirit, which was a woman's deodorant. Well, as a matter of fact, Kurt Cobain's then girlfriend Toby Vail wore Teen Spirit deodorant, and the smell would stick to him. Further reading here. So Cobain stated that he thought the phrase Teen Spirit sounded like it had a much deeper and revolutionary meaning. I guess it depends how you look at it.
So I'm glad you mentioned show notes, because what we do is we put a little bit extra detail in the show notes for references.
Yeah.
We throw a couple hot links in there, and we also throw some of our references and links on our Facebook page as well, Jabber
Nice.
Guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have a website?
We do.
Awesome. Welcome to the show.
Hey, going back to Nirvana, the band name?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Where'd they get that from? Well, we know what Nirvana means, but...
Right, well, they came up with it, I guess. Cobain was actually quoted saying that the band wanted something beautiful or nice or pretty. That's what they were quoted.
You wanted to go along with his deodorant.
I should have called the band Teen Spirit Deodorant.
That's it.
It may be, but he wanted something, you know, not raunchy or anything.
You mean like one of his previous band names that he was in? Fecal Matter?
You're kidding.
No, that was the name.
You know, looking it up, one of their hits, I call them hits, one of the songs off of the album was called Bambi Slaughter.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fecal Matter with their top hit, Bambi Slaughter.
And Ted, Ed, Fred.
Ted, Ed, Fred.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder he wanted something different.
Yeah, so they wanted to get out of that whole kind of...
vibe.
Yes, bad, ugly. And they wanted something more beautiful and nice, so they went with Nirvana.
Nice.
There you go.
It works. You know the song Woodstock?
Yes.
Woodstock.
Yeah.
About the, you know, the outdoor concert. Massive.
By Joni Mitchell.
It's by Joni Mitchell. Do you know Joni Mitchell didn't play at Woodstock?
I didn't know that.
A lot of people thought that Joni Mitchell actually played at Woodstock and wrote the song Woodstock for the concert. She was invited to Woodstock, but she canceled at the last minute for a prior engagement, and she ended up going on the Dick Cavett show. While Woodstock was going on, all that madness, rock and roll, sex, drugs, rock and roll, she was sitting with Dick Cavett.
What a party animal.
But she said, she admitted, she said not being there made her appreciate the event even more. not being there and looking at her as an outsider.
Well, she has to say that.
Well, she did. And she actually wrote the song and released it after Woodstock, about Woodstock. But it wasn't written for at Woodstock. Isn't that wild?
Hanging around Dick Cavett.
Now, is Dick Cavett mentioned in that song?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
If memory serves me right, I think Dick Cavett, he owned Steely Dan, didn't he?
Well, he was a dick, so.
Oh, my God.
Okay. If anybody doesn't know Dick Cavett, it was a talk show.
Show notes.
Yeah, show notes.
Was it really old, the show? Then tell us about it. Oh.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
He can't remember. His mind's going. You remember Billie Jean King?
Absolutely.
Well, not that she's dead, I mean, but I mean, you remember her.
Well, I
right?
remember her being popular in the tennis.
Yeah. Well, that remember that movie? What was it called? Battle of the Sexes.
Battle of the Sexes.
And
yeah.
Stone, right? Yeah, she played Billie Jean King. Anyway, she was a tennis player.
That was in 2017.
That's right, 2017. But the song "Philadelphia Freedom" by Elton John was written for Billie Jean King. It was a tribute to her. Elton John and Bernie Taupin wrote the song. Taupin said he didn't really want to write a song about tennis, so they wrote a song about Billie Jean King's tennis team, which was called the Philadelphia Freedoms. Billie Jean King was a big equal rights activist, and that was Elton John's way of paying tribute to her. Yeah, so that's where Philadelphia Freedom came from.
Elton John, yeah. And Elton John's real name? Reginald Dwight.
Absolutely.
Middle name? Kenneth. Reginald Kenneth Dwight.
So how'd he come up with Elton John?
Well, why would he need a stage name with that name?
Yeah. So where do you get that from?
It was a combination of a middle name of a bluesology singer, Long John Baldry.
Long John Baldry. Oh,
loved
yeah.
Long John Baldry. Yeah. He's awesome.
Right. And then the first name of the saxophone player, Elton Dean.
So Elton Dean, Elton.
And John Baldry.
John Baldry.
Elton John, there it is. Philadelphia Freedom was released in 1975, but it was released at the time as a single. It didn't show up on an album until 2 years later on his Greatest Hits, Volume 2. So,
but it's now included as a bonus track.
Yeah, it's on if you were to buy the CD, let's say, or if anybody even does that anymore. But it's a bonus track on Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, along with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and One Day at a Time, bonus tracks.
Do you want to know how Twisted Sister got their band name?
From Elton John to Twisted Sister. There nice segue. Go.
Yes. Well, actually, Twisted Sister originally was named Silver Star.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know how it... Kind of lame compared to when you see these guys. Kind of a lame name.
Twisted Sister fits them much better.
Oh, it's perfect. And so thought an audience member that he kept referring to them as Twisted Sister because, you know, that the heavy metal as drag they used to, you know, how they dressed up.
Glam rock.
Glam rock.
Glam rock, baby.
Glam rock, yeah, whatever that is. So anyway, he kept referring them as a bunch of Twisted Sisters. So Ben said, you know what? Yeah, you're right. That's our new name, Twisted Sister.
That's awesome.
It is.
Dee Snider was amazing. Come on, the least.
He is.
Dee Snider's great.
Yeah.
I just watched a documentary. I think I told you about it earlier. I Want My MTV. It's about how MTV actually got started. And Dee Snider makes an appearance on there and talks about, you know, their video. We're not going to take it. Like
that was popular.
Well, let's face it. When you hear "We're not going to take it," I mean, everybody knows the next line. No, we're not going to take it. Yeah. Right? That was a great video.
I was watching them for the first time. This guy had long, curly blonde hair.
Yeah.
Big red lipstick and eye makeup, and he was built. Like he's a big muscular.
Well, he's
guy.
A big guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. That's great stuff. Like, that's what videos, they were made for video, that band, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of bands through MTV, the visual impact was what made them.
Oh, yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
I remember actually watching that video with Dad in the room, and he just, what is this? What is this crap? Turn this, what the hell? Turn this crap off. It's a bunch of freaks.
Then you knew it was good.
Then, oh, yeah. Then, okay, it's approved now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I have to mention Back in Black.
AC/DC.
ACDAC. Yeah, AC/DC. So Back in Black, I mean, was written before Bon Scott. Bon Scott was the original singer. He died in February 1980, and Back in Black actually was released in August of 1980. But for obvious reasons, I guess Back in Black was written as a tribute to Bon Scott, that they're back, and they're not going to let anything stand in their way. It's a tribute song to Bon. And AC/DC's coming out with a new album. It's ready for release on November the 13th.
Less than a month away.
Power Up, it's called. And they got Brian Johnson back on lead vocals, which, why did he step out again?
His doctor warned him heavily to quit because of his hearing loss, because of the loud music. He said if he'd continue, he couldn't guarantee he'd lose his hearing totally.
Wow.
He's going to be rich and deaf.
Rock and roll, baby.
Rock and roll.
Rock on.
So they've got Cliff Williams back in the lineup.
Yes.
Angus, obviously, young on lead guitar. Now, Malcolm died in 2017. Malcolm Young, who actually wrote the riff for Back in Black. He wrote the riff for Back in Black. He was sitting on that riff for a couple years before they actually used it for Back in Black. I think he warmed up with that. And anyway, so, and who else? They got, who's filling in for Malcolm?
Steve.
Steve who?
Young.
Steve Young. Oh, right on. Is he a member of the family? He's got the same last name as Angus.
No, actually, he's a Scottish musician. I think he originally started in 2014, but so.
I remember when remember the rumor that Axl Rose was going to front them? He was going to be the front man when Brian Johnson stepped out.
Sweet child of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, my glad they didn't follow through with that.
What's the matter? You not an Axl Rose fan?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right.
Like, you know what? Guns N' Roses, you know, he's the voice of them. Great. You know, that's great. But no, don't bring him over to AC/DC.
I remember, you say something there?
Well, I was just going to say, the riff that starts Sweet Child of Mine,
yeah,
was actually started by, well, Slash and another band member as just a warm-up.
Yes, a lot of bands do that.
Yeah, just a warm-up. And then they say, well, yeah, let's add to that. You just kind of made it up.
That's
cool.
And
then Sweet Child of Mine is one of the most famous songs of the 80s.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. You know, Axl Rose was chosen by, there's a site, it's called concerthotels.com, and they came up with the vocal ranges of the world's greatest singers. And if you look at the chart and you look at vocal range, you know who's at the very top ahead, let me tell you who's behind, okay?
Yeah.
In second was Mariah Carey, Prince.
Second behind Mariah Carey.
Yeah, behind Mariah Carey. Steven Tyler, James Brown, Marvin Gaye, Christina Aguilera. Anyway, you know who's number one?
Barry Manilow.
Was it Barry Manilow?
No.
Axl Rose.
Oh, come on.
Axl Rose had the best vocal range.
And so this was determined by a computer.
Yeah, that's what they say. Well, it's a chart, so I don't know how they measured it. But I remember when they announced that, it blew my mind.
It was probably a Commodore 64. All right, I've said enough.
Oh, by the way, you know who had the highest note?
Who?
No, not the vocal range, but the highest note was Mariah Carey.
She is
That's believable.
Yeah. How about Minnie Riperton?
Oh, Loving You. Remember that song?
That's pretty high note.
That's for sure. Yeah, I don't see her on the list, but I guess you'd have to do it more than one song, I guess.
Yeah, that was, I had to turn that song down every time she started singing it. The dog started barking.
Yeah. So the fact that Phil Rudd is back, that's cool to see him back on the drums. I mean, he went through a rough time there.
I think that's the biggest surprise, is he's back.
Yeah. I mean, he showed up at Malcolm's funeral, when Malcolm died in 2017, he showed up, and Angus hadn't seen him since 2014 for the Rock or Bust sessions. And when he saw him, he said he looked good, looked like he got his act together, and they decided to invite him back into the band. Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool.
It is cool to get most of the guys back.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll look forward to the new album release on, when was it, November 13th?
November 13th. Power up, baby. Power up.
Power up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And with that, I think it's time for us to power down this episode of Inside Rock with Oat,
Queeks,
and Cha,
the Jabber Guys. You will find a link to a Spotify music playlist at the bottom of this episode's show notes for songs we referenced in this podcast. Remember to visit our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcast, Weird and Wacky World and Inside Rock.